This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Sean Wade. Sean is with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And today, we're focused on a few things, including the cotton crop, but also 2025. What does the season hold for cotton producers? Some of the questions coming up in a moment. First off, Bart Kenner is an economist at USDA, reviews exports of U.S. animal and animal products during the first 10 months of this year.
Live animal exports were up 10% over the same period last year. Red meat products were up 5% over last year at $16.9 billion. Poultry products down 1% from last year, but dairy products up 1% over last year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Tony. How are you doing today?
Never better as we work our way towards the end of 2024. Will 2024 be a year that maybe those in the cotton industry would like to, maybe forget? Has it been a challenging year for the industry?
Yeah, I think that's a really polite way to put it. Challenging is definitely a good descriptor of 2024. And be honest with you, most of the growers and really just a lot of folks in the industry would really I don't think that they can put 2024 behind them quick enough because it has been just a really tough year in a lot of ways. It's been one of those years that we saw early on that it was going to be a pretty tough pretty tough growing season just because of costs and prices and those types of things. But then, we kind of added in the drama that comes with getting off to a decent start with a crop and then, kind of coming up just short of the finish line and getting those last couple of little rains that we might have needed in August, early to mid-August, that really could have given us a really good crop out here. But instead, we're stuck with one that is just only, marginally different, although better, but still only marginally different from, from the drought impacted year that we had in 2023. So, 2024 really ended up being a continuation of the kind of tough dynamics, I guess, that we've seen, both from the weather and from the marketplace.
And when we look back at 2024, we will find more cotton than we had in 2023. I'm not sure that anybody is completely surprised about that, but we're not quite to the finish line yet, are we?
We aren't, I think we will definitely have a slightly bigger crop than we had in 23. For the 24 crop, somewhere around probably 2 to 2.25 million bales, somewhere in that neighborhood, close to that 225,000, 2.25 million, bales. But we are, for a crop that's really not of a significant size, the harvest season has, kind of drug out. We've had some rainfall, off and on, since the first part of October, late September, that has certainly delayed the harvest activity in a couple of spots for, a week to 2 weeks at a time. So we are on the downhill stretch, I believe, as when it comes to harvest, but still a lot more acres maybe than we anticipated still are in limbo as far as whether they will be harvested or won't be harvested. And that is, kind of a situation that is being kind of illustrated very clearly in the Farm Service Agency Certified Acreage Report data that they release every month. We've seen here on the High Plains those failed acre numbers gradually climbing since August, as we anticipated that they would. But we still kind of haven't reached the level that we thought we might get to when it comes to how many acres will ultimately be failed. If you look at, you know, just by the numbers, about 45% of the High Plains dryland acres have already been failed, but we could still see, you know, a few more added to that total as we go through this month of December. On the irrigated side, we've seen a few additions to the failed acre number on the irrigated side as well. So we're up to about 18% failed acres on irrigated. And that kind of combines for an overall abandonment number right now of just under 35%, which certainly not too bad. But, you know, most of those acres have not really yielded anywhere near where growers needed them to for the expenses that they had to put into them this year. And you can kind of carry that out to the state as well, the state level, where, you know, we've seen those failed acre numbers, you know, continue to go up, but still haven't quite reached the level that the USDA NAS folks have been projecting in their crop production reports. If you look at the NAS data, they're saying we would harvest around 3.65 million acres. Right now, the FSA data shows there's still about 4 million acres out there in Texas to be harvested. So pretty interesting just to kind of see kind of where it'll all end up and see if those FSA and NAS numbers kind of do come together. But, you know, we are seeing, you know, this Texas crop get a little bit smaller as we kind of have gone through the harvest period. Right now, the state's only projected to produce about 3.9 million bales of cotton for 2024.
And obviously, there are a lot of different factors that go into the decision to plant cotton. One of those is the price. Another one might be just whether or not there are any other alternatives available. I know talking with some producers that really it's cotton. That's the only option for them to grow anything in a field. Do we have any ideas what 2025 might look like? I know it's still early, but are those decisions being made right now?
Well, certainly some of those decisions are definitely being made now, especially down in the South Texas area along the coast and in the lower Rio Grande Valley. You know, and they do have maybe a few different options that they can look at down in those areas when it comes to maybe working in a little bit more grain sorghum or corn into the mix of their plantings. But so many of those guys, you know, do pretty strict crop rotations on their operations. So I would anticipate that we're likely to see, you know, really kind of similar acres planted here on the High Plains, but also in the rest of Texas, because in a while, there's no real clear winners and losers, I guess you could say, when it comes to these crops where prices are today. Crop, you know, prices across the board are down. And so, you know, we really would anticipate that, you know, those dynamics, there's just not one that's going to drag a lot of acres to it, especially here in the state of Texas. Now, you know, elsewhere where they can maybe do a little bit more corn or peanuts or something like that, we could definitely see, you know, maybe some acres get shifted around. But, you know, I guess as an early look right now, where those markets are and kind of what we would be anticipating for crop insurance pricing and that sort of thing, I would anticipate very similar planted acreage numbers for cotton and other crops in Texas at this point.
Now, this one is for those who aren't really within the cotton industry. When we plant cotton, the end result is fiber, but that's not the only result coming from the cotton plant. There are other ways to market that crop, including cotton seed. You've got oil, you've got the moats. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that go into making up that final crop. How important are the other segments of the cotton crop, if you will?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tony. Cotton really is kind of unique in that, cotton lint is our primary product that we're commodity quantity that we're shooting for. We do have a co-product that comes along with that lint, and that is the seed. And so, you know, cotton seed is a significant input to a grower's bottom line. You know, definitely an important income stream for them. And, you know, a portion of, you know, the operation that a lot of people don't really think about, like you said, when it comes to cotton production. But, you know, there's an entire industry and, you know, maybe even, I guess you could maybe call it a, you know, sub-industry or two that come along with cotton seed, because not only do we have, you know, a very good and robust whole seed market where we can send that seed directly to dairies and other feedlots and other livestock feeding operations. We also can, you know, send that over to the oil mill where we get, you know, a lot of products such as cotton linters, which are used in, you know, paper manufacturing, cosmetics, you know, lots of different things there, even into the food sector. We get cottonseed oil, which is a really high-grade cooking oil, and one I would encourage folks, if they can find it on their grocery store shelves, to give a try. It's a great healthy cooking oil alternative. And then, you know, meal and hulls and all sorts of other byproducts from you know, the processing of that seed that can go into various animal feed products and other uses. So a really diverse plant. I mean, cotton plant can really impact us at every level of our lives, from food to the clothes that we wear. So, you know, it's important, you know, that we do the best we can, you know, to kind of keep this very vibrant industry, you know, healthy as we can. And certainly that does play a big role in some of the decisions that the growers make when it comes to planting a crop and the crops that they choose to plant. Of course, you know, in the High Plains, we don't have as many cropping options as other places, but we are fortunate to have a very strong and diverse cotton industry to kind of support, you know, our number one commodity here on the High Plains of Texas, which is, you know, cotton as far as row crops go.
Sean Wade is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association proudly presents Your Legacy is Tomorrow's Water. We're joining forces with partners across Texas to restore 50 Playa Lakes, crucial for recharging the Ogallala Aquifer and supporting our unique wildlife. Be a part of this transformative initiative. Visit playasworkfortexans.com for more details. Let's secure our water legacy together.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org. www.ecoworkhorse.org.
Want to turn your truck into the ultimate workhorse or off-road beast? The possibilities are endless when you visit Rascal Supply Co. in Lubbock. Rascal has truck accessories, truck beds, bumpers, bed covers, lift kits, toolboxes, leveling kits, and so much more. Come see us at 10307 North U.S. Highway 87 or call 806-300-8007 for Rascal Supply.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this fall and winter? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have brush cutter shredders that turn your machine into a zero-turn mower that can handle trees up to 8 inches. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-778-2834 or visit westtexasattachments.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Yes, it's true. U.S. exports of so-called bulk ag commodities, such as wheat and soybeans, were, after 10 months of 2024, running about 8% below a year ago. Not good, but that's only the bulk products. USDA economist Bart Kenner says for the so-called high-value export products, different story.
In total, high-value products exports were $100 billion, up 4% over last year.
Kenner says most people think of the U.S. as a huge importer of fruits and vegetables. True enough, but we also export a lot. During the first 10 months of this year, sales of fruit and fruit products hit almost $5.5 billion.
A 9% increase over last year, and vegetables and vegetable products at $7.2 billion, 8% greater than last year.
Also running ahead of a year ago, red meat, dairy products, and even ethanol. Gary Crawford, Washington.